Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to have a little bit of a catechetical moment before I begin preaching. You know why we sing hymns? Well, I told the first service because we're not very good singers as Lutherans, but that's not really true. We're great singers, but the reality is we sing hymns because every hymn contains theology. It's really a little mini sermon, a little shorter than the one I'm going to preach in a moment, but it teaches about who Jesus Christ is. And so for that heritage as a Lutheran, I'm very grateful for the church fathers that have gone before us. With that said, I read from our Old Testament lesson for the day. And God said to Moses, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, that is the question. Who am I? You ask a high school kid, they'll give you an answer. But most generally, we just like labeling people. Now, those of you who are still in high school or college, you understand exactly what I mean by this. If someone comes to school and they're in their preppy clothes, in my day, the polo shirt with the turned up collar, kind of like Tom Cruise looking, they're considered to be preppy. Now, if they come to school dressed all in black with chains, it's goth, right? You got that one. Good. How about if they show up in their athletic wear, maybe their sweatpants, their football jersey or volleyball jersey, we consider them to be jocks. Good job. How about if they show up in their pants strung down over their rear ends and they got their shirt and their chains hanging around, their hat on backward, and they're talking all gangsta? They're gangsters too. I'm sorry, I gave that one away. How about if they show up in a button-down shirt all the way to the top with a pocket protector to keep their pen from marking their pockets and the high-water pants and they're kind of smart? They'll be nerds. No, they'll actually be your boss someday. Just mark my words. But really, apart from the labels that we give people, who are they? We don't even know their names. We just look at them and it's like, oh, you're one of that group. And we label people for who they are. We do the same thing within the church. We love to be called disciples of Jesus Christ, Christians. We love it. In spite of the fact at times we don't always act like it. There are times when we don't worship. There are times when it's like, I'm not really into that expanding the kingdom of God stuff, especially when it involves work for me. Oh, and by the way, Pastor, you know, I'm really unwilling to serve on a committee. And my fellow nomination committee member, Michelle, will vouch for me. Many people told us along the way, I don't want to serve. And in some ways, Michelle, I understand, because once you're on, we got you forever because we don't have term limits. But the reason we don't have term limits is because people don't want to serve. It's a really vicious cycle. But in our story today, I want to tell you a story before I tell the story of today. There's a guy in the airport in Denver, true story. The flight had been canceled and all those people came down to the ticket counter to have their ticket exchanged to be able to get on the flight, their connecting flights to go elsewhere. And as they're standing there, there's a guy that kind of pushed his way to the front of the line. He says this, "I have to be on this flight and it has to be first class." And the little ticket taker that was there, the only one working the counter, says, "I'm sorry, sir. I'll be happy to help you after I help all these people." And the pastor now is very unimpressed. He's very angry. And he looks at her and says, "Do you know who I am?" The little flight lady, she got an agent smile. And she turned around and picked up the phone that controlled the whole terminal sound system and made this announcement. "May I have your attention, please? We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him find his identity, please come to the gate." To which the whole terminal erupted in laughter. In our Old Testament lesson of the day, Moses is asked by God. God asked Moses himself to serve him. And Moses' response was, "Who am I?" Now think back over Moses' life. Now, he was born the son of a Hebrew slave in captivity in Egypt. They hid him in the Nile River in that basket. And I heard later on today that Moses was a basket case. They hid him in the basket in the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter found him, retrieved him, brought him home and treated him like her own. He had the best education, the best food, best everything. And then that day Moses saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, and he killed him and hid his body in the sand. And when that crime got out, Moses fled Egypt to Midian, out into the middle of nowhere. See, Moses was a nowhere man living in a nowhere place, living a nowhere life for 40 years. In fact, he was so insignificant. After 40 years of being a shepherd, he didn't have one sheep that was his own. Then God called him to lead the Israelites out of captivity in Israel, or in the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. And Moses' response was this: "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" In other words, Lord, you know what I did in Egypt? Yo, they're still looking for me. There's no statute of limitations on this. They're going to be after me. I am damaged goods. I am not worthy of this. Do you have any idea why I'm living here? It's not really by choice. I don't want to be here. Do you have any idea the struggles I face every day of my life? And so therefore, no thank you. Besides, I simply cannot do what you're asking me to do. There has to be someone else. And as you read this morning's text, I can't help but think of how well that applies to you and me. Sure, like Moses, we get excited at the burning bush when God's presence is in our midst. Sunday morning is awesome because you get to hear the voice of Jesus announcing forgiveness of your sins through the voice of your pastor. And your sins are forgiven. It's amazing. In a moment, you're going to be invited to the altar where Christ will serve as the host and the meal to give you his flesh and blood. It is a joyous thing. It's like the burning bush right here at 10th and Plum, or 11th and Plum. But you see, the reality is we get excited about that. We get excited about being called the children of God. However, there are times in our lives where we simply don't want to serve God, and we're not excited about that at all. In fact, the matter is, don't call me, I'll call you. It's like Moses, we like to cry out, "Lord, I am damaged goods. Surely, Lord, you know what I've done. Lord, you know where I've been. You know my sins are always in front of me. Lord, I am unworthy of the office you've called me to serve in. Lord, there has to be someone else. Besides, I have my reasons. You know, you might ask me, but first of all, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm unequipped to do what you called me to do. And by the way, I'm too busy. My schedule's completely and utterly filled up. I am completely and utterly unqualified for what you want me to do." Sound familiar? Michelle, does it sound familiar? I'm glad nominations are already done and people are elected. But see, the reality is this. Think of the people of the Bible who God called in the service to him. I picked out a handful, and there's more, because all of them have their defects. For example, Noah. What do you know about Noah? Well, he had the ark and the 2x2s and all that stuff, and you know, the rainbow. That's all the Noah story. No, there's more to Noah than that. You know, he was a preacher. He preached for 120 years. You know how many people he converted? Zero. And he was a drunkard besides. How about Abraham, often referred to Father Abraham? Now, he was a real work of art as well. He offered his wife to another man to save his own neck. And Child Protective Services would have likely been called with him because of what he did with Ishmael, sending them away, not providing for them. What a delinquent father he had become. Joseph, now he's a real work of art. He was a daydreamer. And by the way, he had a prison record. He wasn't qualified to do anything. David, well, need I say, the relationship with his neighbor's wife, and then he killed him to cover up his sin. Oh, and then there is Elijah. Do you know Elijah was prone to severe depression and had nervous breakdowns? Elijah the prophet. Amazing. How about Hosea?
He was married to a prostitute.
Or how about Jonah? Now he's a pillar of faith. He wouldn't even go to Nineveh when God told him to. God had to hijack him by a big fish and deliver him on the banks in order for him to go. And even when he preached, he didn't want him to be converted. He wanted them all to die because they were enemies of Israel. Then there's John the Baptist. He didn't dress like a Baptist at all. In fact, that camel's hair thing, dude, you're offensive. And the diet he ate, and he called names. He was a name caller. He told the Pharisees that they were a brood of vipers. Oh, then there's Peter. Oh man, there's so much on Peter. First of all, he had a bad temper. He cursed. He was a hypocrite when it comes to racial matters. Oh, he was a loose cannon on deck. And my favorite term for him is Mr. Open Mouth and Insert My Foot. And then there's Timothy. Ladies, Timothy was way too young and he wasn't even married. That makes him pretty unequipped to be in service to God. But notice with all of these, our understanding of who they are is very positive because of what God did through them. Now this morning, I want to burst your bubble. Because contrary to belief, it's not important who you are. What's important is who God is, and especially what God does for you. Remember Moses' response? His response is, who am I? Who am I that I should free your children of Israel from captivity in Egypt? Who am I? I don't want to do it. And then he had the audacity to ask God, okay, all right, if I go, who should I say sent me? And God said, I am who I am. That must have been so disheartening for Moses. He's thinking there's going to be some crazy name. And God says, I am who I am. But think about it. Our God's name is I am. Not I was and not I will be. Because if it's God I was, all these promises have been done in the past and there's nothing for me left today. And if God is the God of I will, he has no track record. He hasn't proven a thing. In fact, I can't trust him because I'm not sure he can come through. But God says, I am. It's present tense. I am your God. I am a God of promise and my promises are good. In fact, I'll show you how faithful I truly am. But what are the promises that God has given to you? Now to Moses, he said, after Moses did that, who am I? God comes back and says, I'll be with you. Dude, you're not going alone. If God would have said, dude, you're not going alone. I will be with you. And as a sign for that, when you bring the nation of Israel back to here, you're going to worship at this mountain. I will be with you every step of the way. What promises God made to you? We talked at a Bible class. It's at the ascension of our Lord. Jesus' last words are, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And then, whoop, he's in the clouds. He's gone. Really? You're going to be with me. But he is. He's here in your midst today. Well, there's no pillar of cloud or pillar of smoke. And there's certainly no burning bush or the fire department would be here. But the reality is Christ is here in our midst just exactly as he promised. Because he is your I am. And that name I am is so awesome because you can literally fill in the blank to the needs you have. For example, Jesus said these words, I am the light of the world. Well, when do you need a light? When it's dark outside. The last time I checked, we live in a world of sin and darkness. And we definitely need the light of the gospel in our lives to give us hope, to let us see where we're going, to have that direction, something to be drawn to like a moth to a flame. That's what we need. And Jesus says, I'm he. Jesus goes on to say, I am the bread of life. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry. Not only physically, but spiritually, where you hunger and thirst for righteousness, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever been there? Good, because Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I will give you and I will fill you up. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. When do sheep need a shepherd? All the time. Why? Well, first of all, they're stupid. But second of all, God provides for them. He leads in the green pastures and the clear water. And he does the exact same thing to you and me. When we wander off, when we become lost, he's the one that comes searching us out. He brings us back to the fold. The next one's a little tricky. I am the door of the sheep. And I was thinking to myself, like Jesus walking around like this door, and whoop, the door opens and the door. No, it's not that at all. What it means is that he's the door of the sheepfold. He's there for protection. As you gather into this place, for example, Jesus is the door that watches over and protects you to keep all your predators at bay, including sin, death, and the devil. Well, how about this one? I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, the reality is when we're confused, we have questions, or we're struggling with things in our lives, things we simply cannot understand, we know that Jesus is not only the way and the truth, but he is ultimately our life. How about when we're feeling disconnected or estranged? Have you ever felt that way? I don't feel connected because of what I've done. I feel that we don't have that connection anymore because I've wandered away. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. What do you do with branches that aren't connected to the vine? You burn them and you throw them away. They're big enough, as I told the Bible class, I put them on my fireplace to keep my house warm. But the reality is, when you're connected to the vine, you have life in you. Or the last one is this. As you struggle with end-of-life issues, and as we all realize that the lights of the holy city grow brighter for us each and every day, to hear Jesus says, I am the resurrection of life, is powerful words because it's there to take away all of our fears. Because we know that we're in very, very good hands. So the word I am, it's just an amazing name for God. But the question I want each of you to wrestle with this morning is, who are you? Who are you really? Because of what Christ has done for you. Not by the clothes you wear or the impressions you give other people, but I mean really deep down in your heart, who are you really? I know who you purport to be. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Christ. But I wanted you to know this morning of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because like I said before, it's not all about you. It's about him and what he does for you. And what has he done for you? He's forgiven all your sins. Kind of hard to avoid the cross, right? Forgiveness comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For all of the transgressions that you and I have ever committed, Christ has bled and died. You're forgiven. Get used to it. It's the idea that Christ is my Savior, and that's the truth of the matter. And then Jesus says the other promise, surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Those are very comforting words because I realize that he will never leave me or forsake me. And he'll do the same for each and every one of you. See, the reality, God has made you his people. It's not something you have done. It's not a decision you have made. God made you his people through the water of that baptismal font. He called you out of sin's darkness into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has made you a new creation. He has placed a new heart within you. And my friends, that is the most amazing thing of all. Now, in a few moments, you're going to be invited to come forward to receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Why? First of all, because you're his people. Second of all, like me, you need the forgiveness that he offers. And lastly, it's that strength that Christ provides through bread and wine. What a glorious day it is that God has called us to be his children. So who are you? The children of God. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.